members to join. So
thank you, Halei.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, member of committees. We have 101. We have six members of both committees. We can start.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. I will go ahead and call the meeting to order. Welcome to our, what is this now, the March edition of our ITAC meeting. I want to go ahead and remind folks that we conform to public meeting law. If you have a comment from the public, there is a link on the agenda that you can click and submit your comment, and the team will disposition that. With that in mind, I will go ahead and ask staff whether we've received any conflict of interest forms with regard to any of the items on the agenda today.
Mr. Chairman, we have not.
All right, thank you. With that, we will go ahead and move forward into our first item of business, which is considering the approval of the February 21st reporting as our minutes. Chuck, do you need to stop me on something?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, but we need to do the official roll call.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. See, thank you. I was just making good time. Let's do a roll call.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, everybody. We're going to start. Michael, Representative Michael Carbone. Jagadish Sun Krishnamurthy.
Present.
Ryan Kirkland.
I'm here.
Eddie Cook.
Here.
Nathan Young.
Present.
Christina Ward for Jennifer Thott.
Here.
Ben Henry.
Here.
David Byers.
Stuart Bruner here for David Byers.
Thank you, Mr. Bruner. J.R. Sloan.
Here.
Lev Gonick.
Here.
Jeff Paulson.
Here.
Adam Pina for Ryan Mori.
Here.
Thank you, everybody. Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
All right, thank you. All right, with that, we will go ahead and step back to our Stuart.
As you can predict, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to abstain from the minutes vote because I have not read/listened to the minutes.
Fair enough. So noting that abstention, I will go ahead and take a motion with regard to the February 21st recording as the official record of our minutes from the prior meeting.
Mr. Chair, it's Eddie. I move to approve.
Thank you, Eddie. Do we have a second?
A second.
Chairman, this is.
I'm going to give that one to Mr. Kirkland. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? and noting Mr. Bruner's abstention. All right, with that, we'll step forward into our first item on the consent agenda. We've got a couple of items noted here. Unless there's a desire for the committee to break these out for discussion, we will handle the consent agenda in one motion. Do we have a motion with regard to the consent agenda?
Mr. Chair, I'll move approval of the consent agenda as indicated.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Brewer.
I'll second.
Thank you, Eddie. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? And any abstentions? All right. Thank you, folks. We'll move on to, we have a one item for voting, which is Department of Gaming. So I'll turn it over to the team.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Bob Mussey. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the department, the Arizona Department of Gaming, who will introduce themselves shortly, followed by a brief overview of their project. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the Arizona Department of Gaming is requesting approval to create a new module within their Salesforce platform that will modernize their licensing and compliance processes for event wagering and fantasy sports. This effort will consolidate their IT systems into one current system and retire older, more outdated processes within the impact with an impact to both internal staff as well as their customers. At this time, I'll turn it over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed project and answer any questions that you may have.
Good afternoon. My name is Andrew Hawks. I'll be presenting on behalf of our department. Present are myself. I'm an assistant director. I serve as project manager for some of these larger IT projects. With us as well is Abby Medina Silas, our chief procurement officer, Scott Swanson, our IT manager, and John Mazza, our deputy director over operations. He is also one of our executive sponsors. Next slide, please. Thank you. As previously mentioned, the Department of Gaming uses Salesforce for various business functions, and today we are proposing adding a new module to our existing platform. The first item under the operational business issues is that our department currently uses several database applications instead of just one, but we have a continuing objective on our strategic plan to retire the legacy systems and to consolidate all of our licensing activities into Salesforce. Bullet point two, ADG licenses event wagering, which is also known as sports betting, and fantasy sports industry participants. It currently takes four separate systems to complete these licensing activities. One is used for licensing workflow, one for creating badges, one for receiving the applications. And this is because our main licensing database, D3, is not customer facing, and one for tracking metrics related to our licensing activities. Point three, EWFS stakeholders do not have a modern customer facing solution for regulatory activities, including licensing. Jumping to the bottom section, the new Salesforce module will result in faster licensing, more transparency to customers, increased cybersecurity, and a more modern user experience. It will get us closer to consolidating all licensing systems into one. Customers will have secure portals to interact with us and complete their tasks instead of relying heavily on emails and email attachments. Lastly, Salesforce will enhance and automate our ability to track licensees' adherence to various rules and statutes. Next slide, please. We wish to replace our four licensing systems with one new Salesforce module. The EWFS module will be used for licensing, but also for other compliance activities. The graphic included in the slide represents what we've done so far with our Salesforce platform, which is called ADG Connect, and what we propose to do now. Our first module went live in 2022. And is used for tribal gaming certifications, which is like licensing for casino employees and vendors. Our second module went live in 2023 and is called Revenue Reporting. This is how tribes and EWFS operators submit required financial reports and make monthly and quarterly payments to the department. The new EWFS module will have many of the same features and functionality as the first two, but modified based on the differences between the industries that we regulate. Next slide. Vendor selection. When we first built our first module, the gaming certifications, we went through a full RFP, received seven formal quotes and demos, and narrowed it down to three Salesforce integrators who were MTX, Expert Technologies, and MST. MTX was selected and completed the first project. After go live and a short period of support and maintenance, we switched Salesforce integrators to MST, which is now called Mastech. Since partnering with Mastech, ADG Connect has improved significantly in terms of architecture and the user experience. Mastech also built our second module, Revenue Reporting. Because Mastech has proven capable of fixing what's wrong, developing new enhancements, and working well with our team, and because they already have a thorough familiarity of ADG Connect, we propose hiring them to build our next module instead of starting from scratch with a different integrator. After we gathered business requirements and received a statement of work from Mastech, ADG did obtain multiple quotes for the new EWFS module. One was direct from Mastech. The others were from value-added resellers Carisoft and SHI. ADG wishes to proceed with Carisoft's quote because we've successfully completed similar projects with them. Their pricing was better than SHI, and the detail on their invoices helps when creating receipts in the Arizona procurement portal. Next slide, please. ADG will be responsible for providing subject matter expertise, UAT, paying invoices, updating the pitch, stakeholder comms, and change management. Shared responsibilities include project management, software development, and requirements gathering and discovery. Regarding development, Mastech will be leading development, but ADG does have a Salesforce developer on staff now. She will be participating in the development under Mastech's direction. By having our internal developer participate in this manner, ADG will have decreased reliance on outside services to maintain and enhance our platform moving forward. The vendor's responsibilities also include system architecture, quality assurance, invoicing, and training. Next slide, please. The first month will include discovery, design, and planning. In May, we will finalize design. Sprints 1 and 2 will take place in June and July and will include building the object model and community portal. Sprints 3 and 5 will take place from August through October and will focus on form building and the compliance portal. Sprints 6 and 8 are scheduled for November through January and will include more compliance portal, building reports, and data migration. We will ensure that data migration starts early because of lessons learned from building our first module. Underestimating the complexity of migrating data from an older non-customer-facing database to Salesforce caused system issues in phase one. But we are more experienced and prepared to identify, test, and fix potential issues prior to going live now. We plan to do user acceptance testing in February and March, train and go live in April, and then Mastech will provide post-go-live support in May. Next slide, please. Development costs are approximately $1.7 million and will be expensed in both fiscal years 24 and 25 out of our normal operating fund for event wagering and fantasy sports. The ongoing licensing costs are the costs of Salesforce licenses based on the size of the team that will be using this new module in their day-to-day work. The Department of Gaming is not funded by the general fund, rather by a percentage of revenues earned in the industries that we regulate. There are no financial concerns related to the development or ongoing costs of this project, and we are not asking for any general fund money to complete it. Next slide. As we've done with previous ADG Connect projects, we will communicate with stakeholders before, during, and after the project, keeping them updated on timelines and critical dates. The portal that they'll be using in the new module will include functionality allowing them to ask questions, report bugs, suggest enhancements, just like we've done in our other modules. We use the train the trainer model, wherein Mastech trains our internal users and our internal users train external users. We have a dedicated database lead who oversees these efforts, but our frontline staff, supervisors, and IT staff all participate and engage with external users as needed. We create and publish user guides for internal and external users. Additionally, we've gone in person to train some of our tribal partners throughout the state in their own places of business, and we will offer the same to EWFS operators. Measures of success. One metric that will improve by implementing the EWFS module will be the touch time for licensing intake. We anticipate that it will decrease from 60 minutes to only 5 minutes per application. This is due to the automation that exists when a customer fills out their application directly into the front end of the platform, instead of using paper or PDF that our intake staff would need to then enter manually into the back end. We also anticipate significant touch time reductions for our investigators, not just intake. The next metric is related to the EWFS compliance activities, not licensing. Our staff will save time doing all of their work in Salesforce instead of reading emails, downloading the reports and documents, and tracking those submissions on spreadsheets. An improvement that's not mentioned here is how much easier it will be for the customer to fulfill their requirements all in one place with enhanced visibility in what they've already done and what's coming due. We anticipate it also saving them time. Lastly, decreasing the systems used from 4 to 1, as previously mentioned, will free up time internally, not having to maintain, support, and refresh multiple systems. This will increase our internal staff's capacity, especially our IT staff, to engage in more valuable activities. Salesforce and the integrations we've already built in other modules is a more secure way of receiving, analyzing, and retaining data sent to us by our customers. And that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
All right, we'll open up to the committee for questions. Mr. Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think from my perspective, I would have probably have liked to seen like a architectural overview of how the license integrates with the applications. I guess reading in the PIDG, it looks like there's a maximum of 20 event wagering licenses in the state, with 10 reserved for tribes and 10 reserved for owners of other professional sports. I mean, that seems like there's probably maybe 30 to 40 licenses, I guess. Maybe I'm missing kind of like, obviously these 50 licenses or so are spread across 4 different systems. But again, I'm just trying to understand maybe from a high level architectural overview, how does the licenses integrate? Are they used once, or there are multiple, you know, agencies that are grabbing, or different, groups that are needing to reserve or grab it? I just love to know a bit more about how that system integration works.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. I can attempt to answer your question. I hope that I understood it properly. But there are more licensees than the 20 operator licenses that are allowed within the state. So you have 20 operator licenses, but then we also license other industry participants, such as the employees of those operators. And that volume is much higher. And then we also operate the suppliers of those operators. And so the volume is higher than just the 20.
And does, in order for them to operate, do they have to like grab a license, they use it, and then they return the license back to the system? Is that where the handshaking happens between maybe the operator and maybe the system that kind of like provides the licensing for the operators?
Yes, sir. So when an operator, when a company desires to obtain a license for the first time, they go there. There is an allocation period. We open up a window of opportunity for applications for the unused operator licenses. And if they are allocated the opportunity to apply for a license, they use the system to submit their application for the license. And then there is a renewal period every 5 years. And so So those operators are also using the system to process their renewals of those licenses.
So it sounds like if you had the four different systems managing multiple different licenses, there may be possibly one system is not knowing how the other system is handling the licenses. That's why consolidating with one system makes it more efficient and more effective. Is that what I'm getting?
Yes, that's correct. And one of the examples was like one system is used only for badging. And so, as you know, if you print an employee's badge, and we're talking about the employees of these sure. operators, like a FanDuel employee, for example, if we print a badge for that employee, it has to know some stats about the employee, their name, their date of birth, and so forth, their position title. And so it's a matter right now of processing the license in one app and then manually inputting that licensee's data in the one that allows us to print badges.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the questions and the answers.
Any other questions from the committee? Yeah, Stuart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have to give the usual caveat on data conversion, but apparently they've already learned that lesson. So I'd say double whatever time you think would make sense or that the vendor tells you will make sense. My actual question is about how the custom development works between the vendor's technical resources and the gaming's technical resource. Can you give me a little more sense? I mean, I know you're going to have them run parallel because you want to be able to support it somewhat in-house, but doesn't that confuse the custom development on the Salesforce platform by the vendor when you introduce a local resource to that?
Yes, thank you for the question, Mr. Bruner. If I had to assign percentages of development, I would say it's at least 90% the vendor. They're running the show. They're the architects. We've asked them in other enhancements to the modules we already built to include our in-house developer so that she can learn the system, get caught up. To decrease the future, it's like a long-term plan to be a little bit more self-reliant on the system. But that 90%, 10% dynamic will still exist in this project. She will take direction from the vendor and do the tasks that that she's capable of doing.
Mr. Chair, if I could follow up quick, would she be tasked with any quality assurance, you know, UAT quality assurance, unit test type responsibility as well?
Yes, sir. I believe she will, as will the rest of our team. Throughout the sprints of development, they'll also be demoing, as in projects and sprints in the past, they'll be demoing their proposed solutions, and we'll be doing QA and UAT after the vendor does their version of QA and UAT.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Hawks. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Mr. Henry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hawks, just a couple of questions, and mine's going to be a little bit more operational just because the department that I'm in is very similar, a regulatory agency. So MassTech, does anybody else have that in Arizona, state government?
If I can step in, Ben. MassTech is an integrator. They're doing work on top of the Salesforce platform for gaming in this case. So it's not necessarily a package solution. They are a provider that does, I'll say, work on Salesforce to produce solutions for organizations.
And Mr. Chair, if I can just ask you then, so that's something that's used by numerous departments throughout the state?
I do know that MassTech has done work for more than one other agency at the state, yes.
Okay. And so just a couple of other questions that I had, getting back to the first gentleman's question. So about how many licenses do you do a year then?
Mr. Henry, it's approximately 300 licenses on the event wagering and fantasy sports side.
Okay. And are you currently receiving customer complaints about slow or internal complaints about it being cumbersome and everything else?
There are definitely internal headaches with regards to using a modern custom solution in Salesforce for some business function and not others. I'll add that the team that processes licenses on the gaming side is the same team that processes licenses on the event wagering and fantasy sports side. And so they're doing it kind of the new preferred way for one industry and the old antiquated way for the new industry, EWFS.
And just a couple of follow-ups then. So your investigators, your compliance, do they have access? Do their reports go into the system, or is this totally separate and just a licensing aspect?
So two teams will have daily usage of the new system. One is the licensing team, and they'll be processing the licenses from intake. There are staff who do intake, and there are staff who are the actual investigators who process and make the decision of the license. The other team is our event wagering and fantasy sports team, and they will be using the compliance side of the module, not necessarily the licensing, though they will have some view access into the licensing activities. The EWFS team, however, will be focusing on those daily, weekly, quarterly submissions that the operators are required to do, where they send us reports, they send us requests, we review, we approve. And that will be the other half of that module that they're in and using on a daily basis.
Okay. And my final question, sir, what's the size of your IT department?
We have an IT manager and five staff that report to him.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Henry. Any other questions from the committee? If there are no further questions, I will turn it back over to staff.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, Asset is recommending that this PIDGE be approved with the standard conditions as presented.
Okay. Any questions on the conditions here?
Those look pretty standard.
Okay. With that, I will entertain a motion with regard to the project.
So moved.
Thank you, Christine. Do we have a second?
Ben Henry, second.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? And any abstentions? All right, thank you very much. I think we got that done, Lev, before you needed to step out. So thanks for hanging on to the last, the bitter end there. I appreciate that. And we'll note for the record that you need to step out of the meeting. There are no further voting items. If you're able to return, great. Otherwise, we're into just informational items from here. Thank you very much. Good luck, team, with your project. And with that, we'll move into our first informational update from the Department of Revenue.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, once again, my name is Bob Mussey. I'm an engagement manager of the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Department of Revenue. The team will introduce themselves, then provide the committee with an informational update to the overall status of the State Tax Accounting and Reconciliation System, otherwise known as STARS. This project is the Discovery and Planning Phase, PIDGE number RV23006. This time, I'll turn it over to the team and Niraj.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Neeraj Deshpande. I'm the Deputy Director for the Arizona Department of Revenue. And before we start, I would like to thank you all so much for taking the time to meet with us this afternoon. The scope of the presentation today is to provide a progress update of the STARS project through quarter three, fiscal year 2024, by providing a brief history and a selected solution for the project, reviewing key decisions made by the Executive Steering Committee during the quarter, providing an overview of the project timeline, providing a budget snapshot, and giving an overview of the first IVNV report. And before we jump into this update, we will give you a brief overview of our preparation efforts and the selected solution. And next slide, please. Back in 2020, the department conducted a feasibility study with a third-party firm called Grant Thornton. During this study, the department met with and interviewed 10 states of similar size to discover key lessons learned from their own replacement projects. A few lessons learned from these interviews include having dedicated staff of our best and the brightest to attend to the project, to start as early as possible on data preparation, to have a robust change management program, and to have an active executive sponsor, just to name a few. We have also collaborated with key external stakeholders during this preparation effort. We received current system pain point feedback from the cities, counties, Arizona Forum for Improvement of Taxation, and third-party software vendors with whom we interact regularly. We have actively included cities and towns all throughout the preparation process, including having them directly participating in the feasibility study as stakeholders, assisting in the building of the business requirements to be used in the RFP, and they also directly assisted with the solicitation process. The department started data preparation efforts earlier on in the preparation process, going back to 2019. Through this effort, department established the tax data management district in order to centralize, execute data cleansing activities. We also participated in data management maturity assessment with the DOA. We have been applying these data management principles learned in our preparation efforts by building data extracts to be used for migration purposes, along with a complete data dictionary to be shared with the ITS vendor, integrated tax system vendor. The solutions overview: the state has executed a contract with GCOM Software LLC to deliver an integrated tax system to the state and its stakeholders. The RevHub integrated tax system will contain all tax business functions that are administered by the department. It will have an external-facing taxpayer portal that will provide taxpayers a single place to transact with the department, regardless of tax type. It will contain a single case management system that will be used for all taxpayer interactions conducted by authorized user within the system. It also contains income modeling functionality that is required by state statute. Next slide, please. I'd like to give you a little bit of a project update for our quarter three of fiscal year 2024. The storage project team has completed all quarter two milestones as required by the contract. These milestones include project schedule, project resource plan, scope change management plan, project organization chart, and the system security plan. In addition to completing these milestones, the project executive steering committee has made key strategic decisions as a result of feedback received from our oversight partners. These decisions include accelerating the full implementation of end-to-end functionality of the liquor luxury tax in RevHub and accelerating the implementation of GCOM's advanced analytics through the early opportunity initiatives. The accelerated implementation luxury tax will be conducted in parallel with the planning and discovery activities. Planning efforts are already underway, including selecting the best way to go live. After discussion, the project's executive steering committee approved an early adopter approach. This begins with a small group of taxpayers who will be selected to file electronically, followed by a full rollout to all monthly filers of liquor tax. This approach allows the project to learn to exercise all the RevHub Enterprise functionality prior to going live. The early adopters will start by filing and paying their January 2025 due in February 2025 in the RevHub portal. After 2 months of filing from the early adopters, a RevHub portal will be open to all registered liquor taxpayers for the March 2025 filing, which will occur in April 2025. Taxpayers who are not selected as early adopters will continue to file via paper until the portal is open to all liquor taxpayers. The project executive steering committee also approved early opportunities initiatives. The overarching goal is to roll out GCOM's advanced analytics early on in the project to produce early benefits for the state and its stakeholders. So there are three initiatives, including collection optimization, accounts receivable minimization, and transaction audit analytics. The first two initiatives are designed to assist in lowering the state's overall accounts receivable by accelerating the collection of outstanding amounts due. the last initiative will work to produce better audit leads. The change in the timing of the luxury tax implementation required the project team to adjust the work breakdown structure and resource plan to accommodate for additional work that was needed to implement the tax. This includes bringing the best and the brightest, like I said before, getting the best and the brightest into the project full-time earlier on than originally planned. I think there were approximately 23 people that we brought on board, main people and the backups. It also includes adding additional project support staff, such as project managers, business analysts. The data conversion activities have been accelerated along with organizational change management and staff training plans. As the implementation moves forward, the project team will continue their work on discovery activities as originally planned. We are continuing to work through the documents of understanding of all tax types and the key enterprise functions all throughout the calendar year. Next slide, please. The STARS project timeline covers project initiation on August 8, 2023, through the completion of the final implementation phase all the way up to 2028. This high-level timeline begins with the discovery and planning phase, which is scheduled for 18 months, and leads into implementation phases 1 through 4. The purpose of the discovery and planning phase is to prepare the way for the implementation of ADR tax and fee types, such as income tax, transaction privilege tax, license fees, to name a couple. In addition to planning activities, it also includes delivery of critical pre-implementation activities, such as technical design, system security plan, IRS engagement for FedRAMP authorization, implementation of cloud infrastructure, and REVL application install and configuration. The current estimated timeline for implementation phases 1 through 4 includes the delivery of major tax and fee types, such as luxury and specialty taxes in phase one, and major tax and fee types, such as corporate, individual, PPT, property, and associated tax types in phases 2 through 4. These phases will be further refined as part of the discovery and planning phase. Next slide, please. The STARS project health card covers the time period of August 2023 to mid-February 2024. The STARS project health card is backed by project metrics, which are monitored as part of the bi-weekly GCOM project status report. The current status of the STARS project as of mid-February 2024 is as follows. Schedule-wise, the STARS project is currently on schedule according to the STARS project plan. The plan is reviewed and monitored on a weekly basis. Variances to the schedule are monitored and reported as part of the GCOM project status report. Milestone. The STARS project discovery phase includes 20 major PIDGE milestones. These milestones are currently monitored on a monthly basis by the ADOA asset team. The details of these milestones can be found in the appendix that was submitted. The current status of these milestones are as follows. 6 have been completed on time, 8 milestones are on schedule, and 3 milestones are actually trending yellow. Please note that the yellow milestones are being actively worked upon and scheduled to complete on time for the revised schedule. They are in human resources, the IBM trying to get an attorney on board, IBM vendor onboarding, that's almost 95% complete. And then the tax system modernization project advisory committee engagement, this milestone is 75% complete. The milestone got delayed due to pending confirmation of proposed committee members. This milestone is being actively worked on, and the kickoff meeting is tentatively scheduled for March 29, 2024. The milestone should be completed, expected to be completed by March 29, 2024. Excuse me. Budget. The STARS project discovery phase is currently tracking within budget. A financial summary will be provided in a subsequent slide. The budget, expenditures, and estimates are reviewed monthly as part of the APA financial reporting. The risks. The project risks are actively managed according to the STARS risk management plan. The Gartner, which is our IBM vendor, the Gartner risk assessment score for the STARS project is medium. These risks are being actively reviewed and monitored according to the mitigation plan. A summary of these risks will be provided in an upcoming slide. The project issues are actively managed according to STARS issue management plan. Next slide, please. Overall, the cost of the project is not changing. The variance is due to the timing of the deliverables, invoices, and payments. The parentheses indicate that the monthly expenditure exceeded the budget estimate. It's to do with the timing of the invoice payments. Next slide, please. We're going to talk about the burndown chart. The STARS project discovery phase burndown chart covers the period from phase initiation in August 2023 and the phase completion in 2025. The chart tracks the current status against plan for the 20 major pitch milestones. As mentioned, these milestones and their associated schedule and status are currently being defined within the appendix. The variances to the plan are shown in the burndown chart where previously explained as part of the project health card. Those are the three milestones we talked about that are trending yellow: human resources, IBNB onboarding, and the tax system modernization project advisory committee. As noted on the project health card, all other milestones are on schedule. Next slide, please. Gartner or IBNB partner completed their initial baseline risk assessment report in November of 2023. The initial baseline risk score for STARS project was established at medium. Upon review, ADR together with GCOM established a mitigation plan, which is actively being reviewed and monitored. As a side note, Gartner has released their first official risk assessment report in early February. The report shows improvements on many baseline risks. The report will be available to ITAC as part of the asset's regular reporting schedule. For a project of this size, risks are very normal and expected. ADR, our project vendor, GCOM, and Gartner have an open and honest relationship. In terms of project risk, we have jointly reviewed each risk and are working together to establish mitigation strategies. I would like to also highlight a few of Gartner's risks. Completing the discovery phase, the WBS, the work breakdown structure is a complete project schedule for engagement. The current schedule includes activities related to our current planning and discovery phase through the end of the year, plus high-level schedules and go-live dates for all project phases. We will continue to add detail to the WBS to ensure that all tasks and resources are accurately reflected in the schedule. Aligned payment milestones. Now a more detailed project plan schedule is available. We are in the process of updating the vendor's invoicing schedule to align with the revised schedule. I'll emphasize that the overall project value is not changing. We are aligning payments to a new schedule, making it clear the acceptance criteria for each milestone. We're going to incorporate proof of concept in response to ITAC, Gartner, and ADR feedback. Our vendor GCOM drafted a recommendation to accelerate the deployment of the liquor luxury tax. The proposal has been approved by the STARS Project Steering Committee and the WBS revised to include the addition of the new milestone to the discovery phase. This change to the schedule was made at no cost to the state. The new project schedule includes taxpayers submitting liquor returns in the first quarter of 2025. Demonstrating tax administration experience. As we begin to put specific plans in place for the deployment of our new tax system, IBNB has asked the project team to be clear which resources the vendor is making available to support the wide range work streams necessary for the project's success. GCOM will be adding this detail to the WBS. Both the vendor and ADR are bringing additional resources now that the schedule has been approved. I just want to highlight a few bright spots. I think we are on different presentation. Okay. You can go to slide 9, Leslie. I'll just give you a little a moment, Les, if you don't mind. Mr. Chairman, I'll take your guidance if you want me to kind of continue the update while Les is catching up. Is that okay with you, sir?
Yes, that's okay. Please proceed.
So we talked about the areas of concern, right, and Gartner, but let's talk about a few bright spots here. So on the governance side, the ADR has established the project steering committee and the agency business team ongoing demonstrations of strong executive support, detailed decision requests, and external IT oversight. Discovery planning phase, Word breakdown structure is progressing with an increasing level of detail and milestone through discovery and planning phases. ADR resources are identified by name, role, and support allocation. Acceleration of the liquor luxury tax implementation. As mentioned, STARS is planning to demonstrate the tax administration capabilities of GCOM and the RevHub tool by accelerating delivery and stand-up of the first tax type, which is the liquor tax, and two early wins to optimize DOR collection and audit using data analytics capabilities. The core business team, as planning and implementation progresses, business requirements, data ingestion, and data output leads are working collaboratively and actively planning for onboarding additional DOR functional leads. So at this stage, Mr. Chairman, this concludes our presentation. And I want to thank you, sir, and the committee members for the opportunity to come back here to give you a project update that we are so excited about. We would like to now shift into the QA portion of it, and I'm looking forward to some of your questions.
All right. Thank you, Niraj. That's a great update. Thanks for bearing with whatever the technical difficulty was.
Thank you, sir.
There. But I'll open it to the committee for any questions you have with regards to the update from Department of Revenue here. Go ahead, Christine.
Oh, Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm sorry, I don't.
Niraj.
Niraj, thank you, sir. Yes. I didn't it's want to embarrass myself nor insult you in any way.
It's all good, Christine. It's all good. People call me two ways. They call me Niraj and they call me Niraj. Either way, it's fine. Niraj is a lot easier.
Right. Well, Niraj, thank you. I'm curious. I read over the page, but I don't recall what's the funding mechanism for the project and what's the totality of the project cost through the implementation. I thought I saw 100 mil or something like that.
So, Christine, that wonderful question. Mr. Chair, Christine, the total project is going to be about 104 million, okay? And it's over 15 years, okay? And why is it 15 years? Because we have done feasibility studies, we have done lessons learned, we have talked to 10 other states, and they say that, you know, you can go with these vendors for 5 years, and then you're on the hook. Because, you know, everybody's aware on this team here is that we have legislative changes each year. So we want to make sure that not only are we covered for the first 5 years, but lessons learned is that the product life cycle is approximately 15 years. We want to have an end-to-end where we have no surprises and the cost of the state is not so much. And so the second part, the second part of your question, which was, how is the funding mechanism? Okay, so approximately 60-40% is a split, the general fund, and then there is all the folks who are actually getting distribution, like the cities and towns and regional transportation authorities. And so they are getting their fair share. So there are about 4 million taxpayers for individual income tax and so many PPE, it affects everybody. So how do you distribute the fair share? So this was put into law. There's a methodology behind it. I'll be more than happy to give you even more deeper dive if you want. But that's how they came up. And so then that money gets billed by us. It goes into an automated project fund that's controlled by ASTEC as well as General Accounting Office. We have to be requesting for the money. We have to show something, and then they ask support, and then we get the money to pay our bills. I hope that answers the question. I made it very high level and didn't want to take too much time.
Mr. Chairman, Niraj, thank you very much. No, I appreciate and understand your answer, and I'm thankful. I was part of your prior system, the BRIT system. I came in after it was implemented to help recover from it. And one of the things that if I could just leave you with is the degree of impact on your workforce. There's so many things, but the degree of impact on your workforce, I believe when we calculated it was 40% of the workforce ended up involved in the implementation in some fashion or another with, and it was, so the more you can staff up, I would highly recommend. There's many other things, data conversion, of course, and there were many, many, many problems. but my sincere best wishes to you, and thank you.
No, I appreciate that input, and a lot of what you have mentioned, it strikes home. And we will continue to pay attention to what the concerns you laid. Just because we have the team in place today does not mean it's going to continuously happen. This is going to be like an ongoing till the project is launched completely. So thank you for that. Very important lessons.
All right. Any other questions from the committee? Okay. If there are none, thank you, Niraj. Great update, and we look forward to continued project success for you.
Thank you, sir. That means a lot. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee members. Have a wonderful afternoon.
All right. Thank you. All right. Our last item here is also an informational update from Department of Administration on the HRS Modernization Project.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Justin Modul, and I am an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I am joined here today by members from the Arizona Department of Administration who will introduce themselves and provide the committee with an informational update to the overall status on their HRIS modernization project, which is aimed towards improving the tools available to the human resources and their staff.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Mr. Chairman and members of ITAC committee. My name is Sean Price. I am the Deputy Director of Arizona Department of Administration and the AZ360 HRS Program Director. And I have with me my Deputy Program Director, Alba. You want to introduce yourself, Alba, really quick?
Good afternoon, everyone. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Alba Valencia. And as Sean mentioned, I'm the Deputy Program Director for the HRIS project.
Okay, good. Next slide. So I'm sure most members are familiar with this project and this slide. So this is the replacement of our HRIS for the state of Arizona. The current solution is a 20-year-old legacy system. It's on-prem. It's a 100% customized solution, and it does have end-of-life coming in 2027. So we knew that we needed to start working on implementing a new HRIS for the state. So that is what we have been working on since the project launched in October of 2022, and we continue to move forward. Just for reference for everyone, this solution is a two-phased approach. We are working on what is called phase 1A, and our current go live date is September of 24, but as most members know, we are not on track to meet that September 24, and we are in progress of working on a new go live date and a new plan to bring to this committee once we get that completed on a change order. As you know, the information says we've been in red since July 23, and we continue to stay in red, and with all countermeasures and everything that we've done to this date, we were not able to get back on track to meet that September of 24, and that's why we're pushing to a new go live date. So we can go to the next slide. I'm not going to go through data in this presentation. I think if we skip maybe two more slides and just go to one more. So this is what the plan that we put out in front of this committee, I believe 2 months ago, of our plan to bring a change order to ITAC. And we continue to work through this plan. So just some updates here within this plan is that we are in continued conversations from a contractual standpoint with CGI. So we are working on what they brought to the table as a push for this project, which I think I presented to ITAC a couple months ago, which is they brought to the table a new go live date of March of 2025 for 1A. And they also brought forth the cost around what that would look like for the push. We are in conversations with them around both of those. So one of the big things that we continue to work on is we want to ensure that the state has the ability to meet that new go live date of what CGI has produced. And we have been working on a plan of all the work that the state is responsible to do in this project. That plan has been completed. We then took that plan and started analyzing all the resources in that plan, all the work that those resources would need to do, and when those resources would need to do that work. We do have a draft right now in front of us of a month by month overlay of all the work, and we are working through that right now. We're working through essentially the areas that we have gaps. So we have employees right now, say an example is employee A for the month of July has more work assigned to them than the amount of work that they can possibly do, right? So we are working through that and identifying, can we, you know, what is the work? Is there additional resources we can bring on to take on that work? Is there contract resources we can bring on to do that work? Are we just going to have to extend the project further to offset that? We're looking at a number of things like that. So we're essentially problem solving every single one of those right now. And we have we believe based on what we're looking at, we should in the next week or week and a half have a decision if we do have enough resource to meet what CGI has brought forth. So we will continue to work on that. Let's see, as we go down, of course, we are working on our change request. That's in progress. I do anticipate if everything goes well with conversations with CGI, we obviously also then need to secure the additional funding, which we're working on. And we will be looking to come to ITAC in May with a change request for the project. And really overall, the change request is changing the time of the project. We're not de-scoping anything out of the project. Everything is gonna be exactly the same of what we're going to deliver in 1A. Everything right now is going to be the same with what we're delivering in the second phase of this project. At this point, we will evaluate that after we get done with 1A, but this really is going to come down to the time it's going to take to complete this project. So I believe that's all on this slide. I was thinking maybe questions, and then I'd also like to, there's not a slide for some of the work that we've been doing on since we've come to ITAC last. So I was gonna review some items there, but I don't know if there's any questions on that timeline.
Committee, any questions on this timeline slide? If there are none, go ahead, Sean.
So, you know, one of the things that, so we got together in person about 3 weeks ago with the CGI leadership and for 3 days and really did a lot of problem solving around the PMO on the project. Looking at, you know, okay, great, we're going to extend the project, right? We're going to create this new timeline, a new go live date, right? But that's just one piece of it, right? We need to continue to look at how we're managing this project, how we're holding our people accountable in the project, and a couple other things. One of them was problem solving within the project. So we took a deep dive into a couple areas because we need to continue to improve as we move through this project. And so one of the big changes that came out of that problem solving that we implemented 2 weeks ago at the beginning of the sprint was around accountability. And we went from managing this project overall from a monthly basis down to a weekly basis. And so current state was, we would do sprint planning. We would identify all of the stories that would need to be done this sprint. Those stories would be assigned out to all the members that were working in the project, and we would say, go forth. And we had processes in place to check along the path and how things were going, but it was definitely more, I guess you would say, open. And the accountability was more on the individual to basically get their job done. Well, we were having a lot of issues with that. And so we, in the problem solving, came together and said, we need to manage this project on a weekly basis. So that was implemented. It is a big, big change, but just in the essentially week and a half or so of doing this, there we have definitely seen a change within the accountability of the project. There is a lot more visibility into what everyone is doing. Are they getting their job done every week? What's getting assigned to them? If not, we have all the structure, new structure in place of holding those people accountable to that. So I think this is a really a big change to help us as we continue to move forward, because there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in this project. So that was done, like I said, a couple of weeks ago, and we will continue to work on that. I think that's really going to help us once we do target that new go live date. It's going to help drive us to that new go live date. I think that part of this too, the accountability, has also increased our communication and alignment with all the staff that are working on the project. So there's definitely, I wouldn't say there's not more meetings. We just repurposed and change the conversation of how we're communicating with our teams in those meetings. We still have our scrum meetings every morning, but we did repurpose certain meetings throughout to change the conversation of a more of accountability conversation and collaboration conversation. So, Alba, do you have anything you'd like to add?
The only thing I'd like to add, Sean, is that all of the activities that we went through and the process that we concluded that, you know, we had some gaps there in communication, processes, efficiency, you know, looking at the meetings and the structure of that. Those are all issues with the PMO process or the governance around the PMO. It does not reflect any issues with the solution itself or the overall project. It's just in the way that we're managing the project, basically. And so those are the things that needed to be looked at, evaluated, and updated. And I think we did a really good job of, you know, kind of halting the ship and changing course midstream, and, you know, addressing those things that, you know, we could see as just being potential issues. And the other thing I want to reiterate is those are things that are happening today. It's a dynamic of the teams that is present today within the teams and within the structure of the organization. So those are not, it doesn't really reflect just the project. So we're addressing things, you know, like communication gaps or ownership gaps, that kind of thing that occurs today. So, you know, just some work to do, and we had to address it head on. But I think it was a great collaboration with CGI, and I think it really has netted some changes so far. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, Alba. Mr. Chair, I think the other two slides are more of our data. Just continue to track our data and user stories. We continue to make progress. I would say with the changes we've made in the last 2 weeks, it's actually increased our progress. It's probably the first time I can remember in probably almost a year where our progress to percentage of progress over the month to the percent of time elapsed for this sprint is actually over that top of that. So I think it was like 39% accomplishment on user stories already this month, and we're only 32% into the month. So we're actually outpacing the time. So it definitely is, you can see it, you can feel it, and you can hear the accountability that's going on. And it's definitely uncomfortable. But it's something that we definitely needed to do to ensure that we are going to make the new go live date once we bring that to the committee. So with that said, open to questions.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Bruner.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, actually, I think question for you as the project sponsor here, what's your assessment of the health of this project overall?
Well, I think as stated, the project is, you know, I'll say red for schedule reasons, and it is not keeping pace with the plan. You know, in my participation as a sponsor of the project, the one thing you've heard Sean talk to is, I'll say something while, I'll say, and I would have liked to have seen this a while back, is getting our arms around how the work is planned and getting the accountability mechanisms in place. But I'll say, you know, what they're getting there now, that is a big positive from my perspective. I think the Sean and the PMO are now getting visibility to be able to track what work is planned versus what work is getting done, to be able to see on a honestly on a day by day as well as weekly basis whether they're tracking the plan or not. In truth, I'll say it's overdue, but I'm glad to see it's in place, and I'm looking forward to. I think that it was going to give Sean and Alba the data they need in order to forecast a confidence relative to whether it's this March date or whether it's beyond that. And I think that's the due diligence they're putting in at this point is looking to see whether the changes they've made and how they're managing the project are tracking to the estimates.
Okay, got it. If I could look a little longer, well, actually, let me see if anybody else has any questions. If they don't, I'll ask a little longer term question.
Any other questions, folks? Otherwise, we'll go ahead, Christine.
I was kind of curious. I think I saw that the project has been in red since June of 2023.
Yeah, since July.
July. I'm sorry. It was a J. I'm over 50 now, and you know, they start with the same letter. It's all at 50.
X each other too.
Have mitigation measures or what's been happening since July?
Mr. Chair, I would say there's Christine, there's a lot that's been going on since July. So we did do a lot of problem solving in the May-June timeframe and implemented a fair number of countermeasures and continued to implement those over the course of the summer. We did make progress, and that was everything from, you know, how we were assigning work, level of effort around work, we added resources. So there was definitely a number of actions taken. We did pick up some time with those countermeasures. It just wasn't, our runway wasn't long enough for how far we were behind. We were probably at that point in the 6 to 7 months behind in the project overall, and it shrunk it down to about 5.5 months or so. It wasn't enough. There just wasn't enough time for how much work. And then really what the crux of everything was, and you actually mentioned this when Niraj is talking about revenue, is the data conversions. You know, this 20-year-old legacy system. And I mean, there was data, it blow your mind, which I'm sure you know, Christine, because I know you've been in state government a long time, how far back this data was going and the quality of that data is just converting that over from the old legacy system into a modern solution where all the fields are named different. There's some fields that we had that the new system doesn't have. There was some fields that were 5 on ours and 1 on theirs. So you're converting down, like you name it, right? And so the data conversions were extremely difficult. Luckily, the big data conversions have been accomplished. The big ones where it's like all the employees, all the previous records type of stuff, the big ones, the PSMT, the ESMT records, those have been accomplished and those have been moved over. You know, other big challenges with this project, right, is that you have state employees, but we also have benefits that's included in this. So you're working with all the university system and all the employees that are within the university system, and they're under, you know, their data is different, you know, and there's just so many challenges that go along with that. Like an example is you can have a state employee who worked 20 years for the state, retired, then started working for NEU, then now they're working for ASU. So now they have like four or five different EINs, you know, and now you're like, how do we combine all those? And, you know, how do you convert that all over and from the old solution to the new solution? And in the old solution, we had different categories for all these people, right? So we can put some, you know, current state employees are in category one, retirees are in another category, you know, the people in the university system are in category seven. Like you had to combine all that. And so there was just a lot of complexity within that. But like I said, luckily we've gotten past a lot of that, but it did get us behind just because of the domino effect of data conversions and having to get those in place. So, and I know there's information out there if you wanna, we can share with you about some of the other mitigation steps that we took. So, but yes, we have been in red since July.
Thank you for the explanation. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, back to you, Stuart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's tangential, but I just feel sort of duty bound to ask it. What is the amount of agency involvement that's in place? I mentioned that because of the CIO roundtable last week where Kurt got sent over there and got a pretty lackluster reception. I felt like to me that there was a lot of awareness for a project that is this huge and running this long. So I guess I'm going to ask Mr. Price, what agency involvement have you got? Give me a feeling for that.
If I went over the amount of involvement that we've communicated or done with agencies, you'd probably fall over. It's a lot. Every agency has an agency captain, so every single agency has a point of contact that is heavily involved in the project, and part of their job is then to return to the agency and engage their agencies. Of course, our big focus is on the top 16 agencies in state government, because that's probably like 90%+ of the staff. So that is, I think, more on the, you would say, the HR side. I do see, and we continue to work on the technical side of the project. There is definitely gaps of engagement from the technical side, and we've heard that. We heard it from the CIO forum, we heard it, or the CIO meeting, we've heard it prior to that. So we actually are working on some different strategies around engaging on the technical side, especially around the interfaces. So we're, part of our plan that we're developing right now is going to have some firm dates in it so that agencies can anticipate those interfaces. We can never communicate enough, right? So we continue to see those gaps, and then we problem solve, and then we implement. We talked about putting together like a technical forum where we'll be inviting all the agencies' technical teams to a forum on some level of cadence that we can answer questions for them, type of thing. So, but yeah, I mean, like you heard it, and I wasn't in that meeting. I did hear the feedback from my team, and then I asked them to start working on problem solving and working on what we can do about it. So,
yeah, Mr. Chairman, if I can save face by saying I really did mean the technical and interface side rather than the HR side, but I was one of those guys that had to answer no. It felt like a rebranding, you know, when you said how many people know who their captain is and how many people are aware of the project. Like, I know HRIS modernization, but I didn't know it got a new name with AZ360. That's probably been around for 2 years.
Well, so again, so Stuart, I'll say I drove wanting to get to that point, right, where asking some very direct questions. I suspected that, you know, I'll say in any organization, right, communication is always the chief challenge. And no matter how, you know, big a project is, there's, you know, every agency has a mission they're trying to accomplish and a lot of other things that are on their plates every day. And, you know, the fact that DOA is bringing forward something, I mean, hey, it touches every employee, so it's important, and I guarantee we'll have their attention if it doesn't go well. You know, but we want to avoid it not going well. So we started having the quarterly updates in the leadership roundtable from the project team, talking about the status, talking about the naming, I mean, all of those things. But we all have a lot on our plates, and you know, it's like everything else. You gotta tell somebody the same thing 7 times before they get it, and we just gotta keep, you know, hammering and measuring where we're having success, and if we're not, you know, just because we're delivering information doesn't mean it's being consumed. So we need to challenge ourselves to say, are we delivering this to you in a way that is consumable, and are we helping to make connections within the organizations? That's one of the things I wanted to call out with the agency captains, so that the CIOs can say, who is the agency captain that they should be getting updates from, and start making those connections within the agencies themselves, so that that will help information flow.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do think it was time well spent as far as the CIO, as far as the CIO roundtable went. I think that it was a good conversation needed to be had.
Yeah, and we are engaged. We are doing a lot from a technical side. I know we have we've been heavily engaged with the universities around the interfaces. I know we have big meetings actually today with the interfaces. It's that's been going well. We are engaging PSPRS, ASRS with interfaces. So I mean, just there's critical, obviously, interfaces on this project. But some of the interesting things that I've learned on this project too is technical terms, right? Some people hear interfaces and everybody has a different interpretation of what an interface is, right? I talked to a CIO the other day at an agency and I said, yeah, we have 7 interfaces with your agency. And he's like, you do? And I said, yeah. I was like, this is what they are and this is what we're giving you. And he's like, oh yeah, I know those are the flat files that we get from the solution that I ingest into an ancillary solution and that we manage at our agency, right? And it's like, some people are like, well, the interface to me is just an API, right? Not maybe an email or something else with data, right? It's just, we've run into things like that. So it's just, it's kind of interesting from a language standpoint. I personally have a call every month with all the deputy directors, and all the agencies are invited to give updates. So that's another form of communicating at the senior leadership level. Yeah, we are definitely doing our best, but we're always working to get better on the communication. The interface piece is big, but we've also are having quite a few meetings with budget staff, with payroll staff in the agencies. I know DES has had a number of meetings. I know there's meetings set up with DCS, DHS, DPS, because there's, you know, this 1A is benefits, payroll, and personnel control, right? So it's some big areas that are not just HR, right? We think it's, you know, HRIS, right? HR, but this is payroll. And we know payroll doesn't sit within HR. It doesn't sit within HR at DOA. It's in, you know, our division of business and finance, right? So it's, you know, it's not just engaging HR like we all think. It's engaging all those different areas of all those agencies. And us long-term state employees know that every single agency is structured different and communicates different, and who sits where and does what is, you know, so you're trying to kind of weave through that too, right? And luckily, like, I definitely have some staff on my team that and some staff that asset team that really helped with a lot of that. I mean, I've been in like 6 agencies, so I know that there's a lot of nuances out there and how we weave through those from a communication standpoint. But we're always open for suggestions, recommendations, and feedback on the communication part and the change management part, for sure. So,
okay, thanks, Mr. Chairman. The prosecution rests.
Thanks, Stuart. All right. If there are any other questions from the committee, we'll call this session to a close. Our next meeting is April 17th. So we'll look forward to seeing you all then. Thank you all for your time today. Good dialogue, and thanks for the input, as always, from the committee members on helping us to properly steward our projects. Not to overuse your name, Stuart, but I'm gonna play on it there. All right, thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Okay, let's stop the